Our man has done good.
Brother, we're taping you here for the trial, so there you go.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 28. We finished our going through the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 28, the last chapter. Yesterday I finished what God had given me out of 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and I wanted a closer. If I have forgotten or you weren't here, I want to again thank you for being so kind to me, and thank you for being graceful. I came across this, and this is the way I feel. At God's footstool to confess, a poor soul knelt and bowed his head. I failed, he cried. The master said, thou didst thy best. That is success.
Amen.
I know it's not biblical, but maybe a biblical principle. Amen. We did our best. And thank the Lord. I'm glad that you're here again. Probably about 6 months, just about every day, I've been praying about this time and these meetings. And now the last day, it's kind of bittersweet. I was really looking forward to like finishing and getting on home. I haven't been home in a long time, it seems like it. Now I want to stay. Kind of defeats the purpose of being a missionary, though. But it's good, you know. And we'll move along tonight. Not going to be very long. No more dumb jokes. You know, got a lot of flack about the Irish joke, so no more. All right, just one more. This falls in the same genre. If a parsley farmer fails to pay his taxes, will they garnish his wages? I can tell you, Vietnamese jokes are worse. The guy walks into a restaurant, he pulls out tuk tan, zem tuk, not tan, tuk tan, the menu. In zem tuk tan, noi, am I? Or servant boy, what is this cold boiled ham? What is that? And the waiter says, oh sir, that's where we boil the ham in cold water. That's a side splitter in Vietnam. Okay. The book of Acts, I think the last chapter is appropriate for a meeting like this. It's a gentle reminder. We've had a good time, amen? I think we've worshiped the Lord, we've glorified the Lord. I really appreciate your testimony, I appreciate your faithfulness. I promised you earlier, it was Sunday, if you didn't like it, you'd get your money back, amen? But I did promise that you'd leave here saying it was good to be in God's house.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So I think we can keep that. Amen. Now the Apostle Paul's on his way to Rome. He's a prisoner, but he has some liberty. And a ship. Paul was warned, but the captain wanted to get his cargo to port. It's more about money. And the ship wrecked. They're all washed ashore there, that last verse of the previous chapter, verse 44, and the rest, some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped, all safe to land, just what God had told Paul. He said, if you just stay together, we'll all make it. You know, that's the way kind of like our case is, amen? If we just stay together, we'll make it. You might make it with a board or a piece of ship, or it might not be pretty, but you're going to make it. Amen. We're just going to keep swimming and hanging out together and doing what we can do. And when they were escaped, chapter 28, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people, that means like the outsiders, they weren't citizens, you know, they were maybe not in the same culture as the Romans and the Hebrews. They showed us no little kindness. That means they were really good to us. For they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat, fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt, this man is a murderer." Really? "Whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he, this is Paul, shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, the people then, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. And the same, this is easy preaching, you'll know why. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came, or healed, who also honored us with many honors. When we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, which is where that ship should have been, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. Father, thank you for, again, the chance to, Lord, I just think it's an awesome responsibility. Thank you for the health and the wherewithal to be able to meet every night. God, thank you that you've been here. I pray that one more time, God, you would work freely in the lives and the hearts of these dear people. Lord, may the needs that they have, the pain, the suffering, and the distractions just be put aside for a little while. And we could just hear the word of God, be both hearers and doers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you get the idea. They're like, they shipwreck. It's kind of like the real Gilligan's Island, you know? And they swim ashore, and they're cold and wet and terrified, no doubt. And the people who don't really know them, they probably may not even speak their language. They recognize their state, and they build them a fire, which is nice. They try to comfort the shipwreck. They can obviously see the shipwreck people. And Paul, by the way, if you're taking notes, this is the first point of the attack. Paul's gathering sticks, right? Is he doing bad things? Isn't he ministering? Look at it. If we gather more sticks, we can keep the fire going, maybe get it larger, we can heat and warm more people. So Paul, he's a worker. He doesn't say, you get the sticks, I get the sticks. And while he's getting the sticks, a venomous beast, the serpent, latches a hold of him. Maybe it was like cold, it was cold, and maybe it's cold-blooded, you know, it was laying like a stick. Perhaps when, I'm just thinking, maybe as he got closer to the fire, the thing woke up. That happened to me once. I was jogging down the Erie Canal path, and there was a stick. There's always sticks from the storms and stuff. You kind of have to trot over them. One stick I trotted over, and it moved. It was a king snake. Oh, that was, oh, like, I had to go home and change my shorts. Whoa! But my daughter said, "Oh, it's a king snake, Daddy. Eats other snakes. It's good. You know, you're okay." But I didn't know that at the time. And anyway, Paul's got this serpent hanging on him. It's a deadly serpent. And all the people are watching. The long and short of it is this. We've had a really great week. Amen? Amen. I think we have. Yes, sir. But I'm just going to give you a little, I'm not a prognosticator, I'm not psychic, but what happens typically is you're going to go out here and we've worshiped God. Someone's not happy. Because when you worship the God of heaven, there's another one who wishes to be worshipped. And he's going to bite you. He's going to attack you. Don't be terrified. Don't be afraid. But you'll just be ministering. You're just doing something. Maybe you're following through with a commitment that you made while you were here, or some other thing. You're just helping somebody, and bam, you just get bit. Just like Paul did. It's the attack. It just so happens, you know.
That's right.
And it's not just a random attack. It's a serpent. You know what a serpent is? And you know, back in this day, it was probably an adder. It's a venomous serpent. That reminds me of when they got off the ark, Noah's encouraging all the animals by twos and by sevens. Some were in sevens, some by twos, right? Go out, multiply. It's dry enough now, and they're disembarking from the ark, and he's encouraged, all right, you elephants, get out there and multiply. They go out, and the tigers, come on, you tigers, and you know, you orangutans, and all that. And then there comes a pair of snakes. He goes, all right, you snakes, go out there and multiply. And they said, oh, Mr. Noah, don't tell us that. Oh, no, you can multiply. Oh, Mr. Noah, but we cannot do that. Snakes, it's okay. Male, female, you can do that. No, you see, we can't multiply because we're adders. You got that one. Verse 4. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves. Now, I just got to tell you, I don't think it's like that here in Black Creek. But in Hannibal, it's like this. Something will happen to you. You know, you'll be attacked. And you know what the people around, you know what your people, they were just like, remember, they were showing him kindness just a minute ago. Showing him no small kindness. Oh, well, he's a murderer. He's got to be a murderer. He's got to be, it's obviously, he's got a flat tire again. You know, it's a sin in his life. That's what it is, you know. It's something going on like that. And they're, you know how they gather around, they look, oh, yeah. I was going to tell you. I warned you about it. Didn't you remember I told you about them, right? Yeah, that's right. And all your friends, right? Your friends? Oh, that's right. And then Paul shakes that serpent off. And look in verse 6. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds. They can do that, I guess. And said, he's a god. Talk about fundamentalism. I'm fundamental, but I don't really like to be called a fundamentalist. Because in my mind, a fundamentalist, you have a different view. But my view, over the years, fundamentalists are people that hurt other people, you know. They have trouble keeping their pants up and all kind of, you know, there's a problem there. Now, it doesn't mean that they're all like that. It's just been the fundamentalists I've met. I always end up trashing the place, right? But I am fundamental, I think, right? I hope so. You're always going to find some issue or something like that. But here's the deal. They want to help you. But something bad. Oh, yeah, you know, they're all down. Yeah. You know, kick them back. You missed church. Something like that. Okay. Oh, then you get up. Oh, yeah, he's okay. Oh, look. Or he landed that good job. Maybe he'll tithe, you know. Oh, he's a god. People think that of their pastor.
That's right.
That's the way they think. We've been trained to put the pastor, not as just an ensample, but like the idol, right? And when he's good, when he comes fresh from what's him out of you, and you know, he's wonderful and he's handsome and his kids are good, and something happens and his kids aren't as good or something like that. Oh, he's a murderer, you know, get him out of here, you know. Oh, we changed our mind about him. Or he does good and the bus is running good and he gets his face in the sword of the Lord or something like that. And he's, you know, pretty soon his face is on the sign out front like that. Oh, he's a god. You know, we worship him. It's like, well, no. Those are all just like overreactions. By the way, it's the same in any athletic field, right? You get a new quarterback, You know, and it's all, oh, this is the guy. He's going to do it for us, you know, next year. He's a bum. Get him out of here, you know. Get rid of that guy. Get a new guy, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. Give him a doctorate degree. Put him in the sword of the Lord. You go to these conferences and, you know, I was there, you know. Brother, here it is. Brothers, tell us, just give us the numbers. Nickels and noses. How many are you running? How's the offering down there? How you doing down there? What's the offering? I don't know. I don't count the money, you know. They pay me a little bit, and I usually give it to the guests that come by, you know. I drove the short bus, right? But it's okay. I'm just saying, I'm telling you all this for this reason. When the serpent bites you, and surely if you set out to worship God, you're in the crosshairs.
Try it.
Don't be surprised. Don't go bananas when the people that really want to help you, and they overreact one side or the other, right? They're just people, right? It's just the way people are. Some days we just have bad hair days. Some days I overreact. I could be road rage times 10. And other days I could just be mellow as soft butter. Just let it go, right? It's not going to throw us off our course. Paul didn't turn back to answer them. You guys are wrong about me, you know. He just went on his business. Shake it off. And let me tell you something else. Go back to verse 5. I kind of went through it quickly. Verse 5. This is, what do I do? Like this week or tomorrow or tonight or even already this week? The serpents bit me. Just shake it off. And when I was a young lad, when I was about Trevor's size, maybe a little older, I went to the public school, second grade. And we were farmers, you know, we didn't have any. We gathered for the first time like in a gymnasium class. And I had a friend there, Dave Dombrowski, and he was going to teach me how to play baseball. This is a new game, right? And we used to swing sticks and stuff around, but we never did it to hit a ball. We just thrown at each other. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to teach you, my name is Scrapper. All right, Scrapper, here's what you want to do. My cousin, Bill Newman, is going to throw the ball at me and miss me. And I'm going to show you how, this is how you play baseball. You stand right here. And all right, so Bill winds up and he throws the ball at Dave Dombrowski. What he does, he swung that bat around. And I was standing just, I was where I was supposed to be. I was in a position. Well, that bat came around and knocked me out. Knocked me out cold. I was out for about 5 minutes, I guess. I don't know. And I woke up kind of like, you know, oh. And Bill Newman was looking over me. And he goes, and Bill was saying, hey, Scrapper, shake it off. We got to get back in. Shake it off. Don't tell on us. Look at, sometimes you just stand where you ought to be. Amen?
That's good,
bro. And you just get belted. Hey, shake it off. Amen? Let's get back in the race. Shake it off. Let it go. See, can I give you some examples of how the serpent would bite? I think bitterness is his favorite bat. I think the thing he loves to swing around with us is bitterness. You know, we all, if you lived a life, and I think most of you are alive here, bitterness can creep in, amen? Somebody's done you dirt. You know, that's just the way it is. But what happens is that dirt sticks to you. Oh, you know, it's the root of bitterness, Hebrews 12:15. And it will defile many. It's kind of like out on our lawns, well, maybe there's dandelions out there, and all kind of weeds and stuff. You can't see them now, but the roots are there. When it's given it a little chance, maybe it's this week, maybe it's next month, that root will just spring up. It'll just look terrible. You say, well, no, that's grown. It's kind of like our reaction with each other and people that have offended us. Oh, we can hug. Oh, it's all right, really, really, really. And you know, kind of like Esau and Jacob, you know, oh, you know, it's all right. Go, you can have the sheep. It's okay. Well, you know, you go that way. Okay. But they're children. The children hated each other. For generations, they still hate each other. There was a root there. They didn't pull that root out. Can I just give you something? When you feel that serpent biting, you just in quiet in your thoughts, or someone's name is mentioned, or some event is mentioned, and you just feel it. You feel maybe the hair in the back of your neck, if you have any, you know, something. If you have, you know, you just know. You just feel like there's that old gall in there. You've got some bitterness. You've got a root. And it's no good just to trim it off. No good just put on a suit and smile.
Right.
You know what you got to do? I strongly suggest you just get yourself alone. I do it on an airplane. I get the little napkin that they give you, the peanuts in the napkin. And I get out my pen, because I got 26 hours. And I just start thinking of people that have done me dirt. Just thinking about, I think I'm going to have about a half dozen names, right? Pastors that have lied to me, and people that have done this and done that. Never mind what I did to them, but we'll just do this. You know, and I'm writing down their name, and as it comes to me, oh yeah, this and this. And I have to flip the napkin over and do it more and more. I need another napkin. I did. I had two more napkins. Start writing this down. I had this list, and it was messy, and I had this list. And I thought, oh God, I really have, in the corner of my heart, I had all this stuff. But it's a root. By writing it down, you're pulling it out, and you're putting it before you and God. You're being honest. And say, well, what do you do with that? Well, you can do what you want to do with it. When you're done with it, destroy the paper. Don't leave the paper laying around the kitchen table, right? Because it might be your spouse's name and so on, right? And you know, what do you do? So, but here's what I do. We have a little song we used to teach. And be ye kind. You know where it is? One to another. It's Ephesians 4:32. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another. How do I do that? I mean, you do. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Wait, God has forgiven me. I can forgive them. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's the method, and everything in there is in that verse. It's, oh God, forgive, help me forgive these people. When I see these names, when I hear this person's name again, when I hear Dr. Salt and Pepper and Dr. Dry as Dust and Dr. Thinks Highly of Himself and all these names, you know, Pastor Puts You Off Till Tomorrow and all these guys, you know what? I wanted to say, oh God, thank you for blessing them. Amen. Thank you for allowing them to be, you know, there's somebody in this world that they minister to. They might not minister to me, but they've got their little, you know, every nut's got a bolt or something, you know, there's somebody there and their God is using them. God, I don't want to grow that root again. I want my heart to be clean. I want the corners of my heart to be clean.
Amen.
Pull that root right out of there. God, forgive them. Help me forgive them because you forgave me. What I did to you was far worse than they did to me. So please forgive me. Amen. Let's move forward. Shake it off. Just, you know what's going to happen to you this week. You know what's going to happen. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be like negative Nelly, but it's going to happen. But you just shake it off. It's okay. I'm expecting that. I'm expecting that strange call or that friend to say this or do that. Or they know, the devil knows how to tweak you. Because he's got the strings on you, right? Don't let him do that. Hey, shake it off. We're moving on. Keep on keeping on. Finally, chapter 28, verse 7. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man. And here is this, you know, after Paul demonstrates that God is with him, after Paul shakes off that attack, not before, but after, Paul goes on and he starts healing people on this island. He begins to really minister to the people.
That's good.
But it can't happen until he himself has gone through the fighting with the serpent.
Amen.
Right?
That's good, brother.
You just can't, because they're, the whole time they're watching. You know they're watching. In fact, they're making judgments that are to the extreme. But they're watching him, and when he shakes it off, go, wow, maybe, you know what? I've got a nephew that's going through some, man, he's being sifted like wheat. But can you come over? Can you help him? Can you want to minister to somebody? You got to first be able to shake off the attacks that are on you, right? You can't go wounded. You can't, somebody's already wounded. You can't go wounded. And yet, here, brother, I just want to tell you how excited it is to be a Christian. As I'm expiring, you know, as I'm quitting, I can't, you know. Excuse me, but hey, I know what you mean. I know some things. I know a little bit about that. But can I help you shake it off? Can I pray with you? Can I help you in the healing process of your life, your marriage, your work relationships, and so on? We can do that. Amen. I say, well, you don't understand. I'm broken. You know, I pastored about a year, and oh, I got crushed. Something happened in my church. And I called the pastor that was my mentor, Dale Nugent's up in Elma, New York. And I was complaining, you know. And I'm feeling blue. He goes, oh, you're feeling blue? You should breathe. There's no reason for you to feel blue. Amen? Breathe. Because Christ in you, the hope of glory.
That's
it. So take better stock of yourself. He goes, let me tell you something. Welcome to the Crush Pastors Club. You can expect God to do great things now with you because he's finally emptied you of you.
That's it, brother.
He had to crush and destroy and break you so you'd be empty. So welcome to the club. You can expect, you know what? Things turned around.
Yeah.
You know what he was telling me? Shake it off. Shake it off. Move on, man. Shake it off. They lodged us. These people even... We want to have fellowship with you, and so on and so forth. And finally, verse 10, and this is, we're done with this. Who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Paul didn't go to this island. In fact, he was just shipwrecked. He just landed there. But he left stocked. Amen? They gave him such things as were necessary. When we try to put that first, it doesn't work out.
Right.
When we go and just minister, we have an encounter with a serpent, shake it off, we minister to the people that are there. When we leave, I feel that way, honestly, I feel that way in Black Creek, because now I go to Syracuse, chapter, verse 12. I've been ministered to anything that's necessary. And I'm not leaving with a new car. I don't need a new car.
Right.
You know what was necessary for me when I came here? Just to be revived, to be encouraged.
Amen.
And I have been.
Amen.
It was necessary. It's good to see an American church working. Amen?
Amen?
It's possible. God is still doing what God does best.
Amen.
I don't have to go to Asia to see it.
Right.
It's right here in my own backyard. Thank the Lord for you guys. That's all I really, I just want to say, look at, we had a great week. We did the best we could do. But be forewarned, okay? No, don't be terrified, but be forewarned. Don't be surprised that the serpent comes to bite you. You're just gathering sticks. You're just helping out in Sunday school. You're just doing something. And wham, right upside the head, boom. Somebody be here saying, shake it off. Come on, shake it off. Come on, let's get back in the race. Amen? I want to come back. And I want to see, I want to do it again. Amen? I don't know if I can make the commitment that your pastor's asking, but I definitely want to, I want to participate. I want to see you guys smiling, and I want to give my thanks to all of you. You're very kind. Please don't be waylaid along the way.
Yeah.
Amen. Be ready, know the way, shake it off, move on, minister to others. Pastor.
Brother Scott talks about some of the troubles early in his Christian life. A lot of that's because they tried to conform him to something and didn't work. And then the Lord showed him, this is what you are, this is what I am in you. Now go use that. And that's real tough. I think I'm still learning that lesson a lot of ways. A couple things here. We need to look long and hard over next year's meeting. Because, for example, Brother Hain brought up this idea that next year, the week before Easter, he's not going to be here. So we are not going to have the meeting then. We are not going to have it that week because you have a commitment. Okay? And, you know, just like you said a couple days ago, you're part of us now, therefore we're part of you. Okay? So, we'll look and see. Probably Amy will be the first one to be able to tell us what the next year's, for example, they have off a week in February. Maybe that'll work, maybe it won't. We don't know yet. But we're going to work out when to bring you here next year and when it's going to work and see how that goes, okay? But it needs to be. I'm not sure how exactly to label this week. Not sure how. I just know that people have gotten a lot out of each night. And very simple preaching. One of the criticisms that I've had since I've been here, it's fairly valid. I bring a lot of Southern fire eaters in here. I love those kind of people. I got saved as a Southern fire eater. And I'll bring them in here and such, and some of you love that. You know, you'll get somebody to give you a popsicle or ice cream, and you're putting Tabasco sauce on it, because that's just the way you are, you know. So, so you bring Paul Scott in here, and it's like I said, if you lightly toasted a marshmallow, a little bit brown, it'd scald his mouth. I mean, he's just not, a fire eater. And yet, great power. Great power to what he had to say. And, I don't know what the Lord has for each one of you. I know some of you are going through some pretty deep waters right now, really hard stuff. But that's probably the most important thing, is to decide, what does God want from me? Okay? What does God want from me? What does he want? Now, here at the Black Creek Baptist Church, if there's anything that I've learned, it's that stick with the program. Many years ago, I went inner tubing on a whitewater river. I don't recommend that. Okay? I didn't do it on purpose. Okay? I was supposed to get off at a certain bend, and I went through the Weber Canyon, class 4, class 5 rapids, in Weber, Utah, Weber Canyon, down the Weber River, and it just something you shouldn't do. But during that period of time, my body frozen because we've been on top of the water for most of it coming down the canyon. There's a point you're supposed to get off, and I wasn't paying attention. And I go around this corner, and I hear the roar. There's these walls, and it's like a movie. You're running, running down that thing. And the first thing that happened is I flipped off that inner tube, and I'm hitting rocks just as fast as it can go, and they're knocking me senseless, and they're sharp, and they're just, undercurrents and everything going around. And this panic came into my head, put the inner tube in front of me, let it take the rocks. Well, it would have popped that inner tube and I'd have died. And I realized, no, there's only one way to live through this thing. Put that inner tube behind you and let your body just take the rocks. And I just held onto that inner tube with everything I could. And somewhere way down at the end of this canyon, I remember being washing up on a rock and water going down on either side of it. And I looked around and said, man, I'm alive. I'm washed up on this rock. And I remember just laying there for a while and thought, how will they get me off of this thing? And I thought, well, a helicopter could come in here, some ropes. And I thought, man, I'll be in the base newspaper and all that kind of stuff. And I'd rather die and I'd jump back in the river. But by that time, I was pretty close to the end, and I could see where to get off of the thing. But I always remember that for the panic. The panic. Panic. I'm panicking. Put that inner tube in front of me. I watch people in this church panic. And the first thing you want to do is throw the church out.
That's right.
You're panicking. That's right. You know, something's going wrong. We're not going to go to service. You know? And, you know, panic. And we're not going to come. We're not going to come to, you know, hear the preaching. Panic, panic, panic. Don't do that. And I'll tell you, if there's anything that I've learned, if anything Bill Randall ran home to me and my family, it's that idea of meeting in the house.
Yes, sir.
Of God.
Yes.
Now, the first message here was the difference between a meeting and an assembly.
Yeah.
That's right. We, you know, right. We didn't come to meet. We came to an assembly where the parts had to come together and assemble. And it wasn't right if all the parts were there. Okay. And so we had an assembly. Different parts have been missing through the week. Different people couldn't make it and such. Carrie and Esther were here tonight. You know, they have to drive 40 minutes to get here again. And, you know, they're not getting any younger. And Carrie's old, very old. 5 days younger than me. But you know, a lot of people don't realize Esther walks around with one lung. She used to be 590 pounds. You know, I mean, but it's one of those hard for them. They weren't here. Different people that haven't been able to be here tonight or one time or another. But we've assembled. We've come together. And the Word of God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. When the house of God comes together, you be part of it. You are part of it. And be there. Don't let the panic take you somewhere else. Be part of this. And then wait for God to reveal to you what you're to do. Okay? Dale and Amy wonder, what's God want us to do? Well, even at the Wellspring Ministry right now, with children being raised just like he was, Dale could tell you stories what it's like for his mama to take him and his brother to find the shoe stores, put the shoes on, and sneak out.
That's right.
His mama did that, taught him that, okay? And he'd tell you what it's like to have black pimps for daddies.
That's
right. You know, torture you and put you through that, sexually abuse you and such. He'd tell you those stories. And such. And now he's serving tables to people who grow up just like that, who don't want the gospel, don't want him, full of pride and everything else. And he's got to decide with God, how does God want me to reach him? How does God? And I don't know how to reach him, Dale. You don't know how, but God knows exactly how to get you to reach him. And we'll figure that out. And when I first came back to Western New York, I saw it as Ziklag burned with fire. I came from here. David went out fighting God's battles everywhere, and he came back to his own home, found it burned with fire. Brother Troy, one of the things you'll find in Western New York is most people who talk about a born-again experience really don't know what it is. It's just weird. I think you've seen that. You know, when they come and fly out. It doesn't mean they're all lost or whatever, but the vast majority just are. They don't really know what it means. And and it's just so, and it's so heartbreaking. You know, they come in and such, and just that long dealing, that long patience and such. And, you know, it seems nice now seeing Dale and Amy clothed in their right mind and the different folks we have here with Salvation. But it really, 4 years here before I saw any of that. And that's where we're putting up with some pretty rude behavior and that kind of stuff. And I never really did.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. And not always, but, you know, just disappoint, break your heart, you know, key times, not be here, things of that sort. And but find out what God wants. I have some folks here, you're trying to decide, does God want me to really wrap my life into here? You know, is that what God wants? Now, I myself, I'm pretty sure he does.
That's right.
I know what preaching did for me. My wife and I are street people. Okay? I know what preaching did for me. I know what the Word of God did for me.
Right.
I know what the house of God did for me. And again, I've got some people here, deep waters, deep, deep stuff you're going through, deep, hard stuff. God never intended to do that totally alone. Okay? Be part of the assembly here. You're part of what this is. And we want to go through it with you. We might make mistakes. Okay? I might make mistakes with you in the next 6 months or so that really hurts you. Okay?
But be part of us. Stick with us. And pray for next year's meeting. When we're going to do that, doesn't have to be next year, but pray for it, okay? When it's going to be, no doubt in my mind, that the Lord would have Brother Scott to be here again. And again, I now know that it will not be the week before Easter. You just be as sure of that as anything going, okay? So we just need to find out what the timing is and when that should be. Brother Hain, I'm going to have you come up here, sing whatever last song, and close this meeting.